Welcome into Bulls Talk on Pippin' Ain't Easy Radio Network, recapping last night's win for the Chicago Bulls over the Phoenix Suns. It was the Bulls' 13th win of this season. Also, another consecutive home win. They have yet to lose at home inside the United Center this year. We'll be recapping that and looking forward to the games that the Bulls have upcoming as they try to remain dominant and on top of an NBA that has already been competitive this year, this shortened year. It's Bulls Talk on Pippin' Ain't Easy Radio Network. Welcome into Bulls Talk on Pippin' Ain't Easy Radio Network. Recapping the Bulls' win from last night, 118-97 over the Phoenix Suns. Chicago moves on to 13-3 on the season and 6-0 at home. I'm Josh Hill, PippinAin'tEasy.com. Chicago really had a surprise last night out of Carlos Boozer, because Boozer is one of the most inconsistent players the Bulls have seen in quite some time, at least a guy who has a $75 million price tag like Carlos Boozer has. 31 points for the Boos last night, 6 rebounds. You know, it's tough to get excited about a performance like this out of Carlos Boozer, though, because he's so wildly inconsistent. He scores 31 tonight, and then, you know, what does he do the next game? He's going to score, what is he going to score, like 11 points, 10 points? Is he not even going to register double digits? Or is he going to go off for another, you know, 20-plus? You never know with Carlos Boozer, and that is one of the problems with Boozer. But it was also why it was such a nice surprise last night to see him do so well. I mean, 31 points, anytime you get that out of somebody on your starting lineup that's not Derrick Rose, that's pretty impressive. So Boozer had a great night last night, but speaking of Derrick Rose, he didn't have a nice night last night because he didn't play. Rose sat out again. Second straight game that he sat out. He missed Monday's game against Memphis with turf toe. He suffered the injury against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and when that came a week ago today, actually, last Tuesday, when the first quarter of the Timberwolves game, Rose goes down, hobbles, stays in that quarter, but he misses a majority of the second quarter, but ends up coming back. But it turns out that the injury is a little bit more strenuous and a little bit more, I don't want to say severe, but it is turf toe. But it was more of a problem than we thought, because now he's missed two consecutive games, and it's the third game of 5 games that he's missed, because he didn't play in the game against the Washington Wizards. So there's that. He came back against Boston, and he played the next day against Toronto, but you know, what's up with the turf toe? We don't know. Well, we do know, because it's, you know, turf toe. We've seen it in the NFL. We've seen players deal with it where they don't come back right away, where they've been, it's really a nagging injury that you can't really fully recover from if you're using, you know, said injured body part constantly. And it's the toe. It's turf toe. If you're an athlete, it's the one of the body parts you're always using. And when you're Derrick Rose, and part of your game is the driving force of your speed. I mean, when he drives to the basket, that's part of his power right there. That's going to nag you, and that's going to really, you know, affect your gameplay. So sitting Derrick Rose was a very good idea. Sitting him for 2 straight games, I don't care. I don't care if he's sat for 2 straight games. A lot of people might be upset about that. You're foolish if you're upset about that, because what would you rather have? Would you rather have Derrick Rose playing now on turf toe when he's not 100%, keeping that injury hanging around because he's using the toe? Or would you rather have him rest it, you know, take a few losses here and there, because they're going to happen, but they might happen with him on the court either way. Take a few losses here and there, and then have him healthy down the stretch when you're trying to, you know, set up playoff positioning and get to the NBA Finals. Because nobody's going to lock up the NBA conferences right now. That is foolish. And to play Derrick Rose right now is a foolish thing, and I'm glad the Bulls aren't doing it because there's no logic in starting Derrick Rose. Chicago doesn't need to sell tickets. They're the Bulls, okay? Everybody knows the product that they're going to see, even without Derrick Rose, is top-notch. That's not a problem, okay? You're not fighting to get to the top of a division. You're already there, and you're already at the top of the Eastern Conference, okay? Even if you slip back a couple games, you've got a lot of games left. You've got 50-plus games left in this season to recover. If you go a few without Derrick Rose, that's no problem. Because as long as he's healthy when you need him, that's what it's going to come down to. So I don't have a problem with Derrick Rose getting benched last night. And, you know, neither did the Bulls, really, because, I mean, they win 118-97 over the Phoenix Suns. The Suns actually gave him a little bit of trouble early. But then Chicago started to pull away with it. Boozer, like we said, finishes with 31. Luol Deng, continuing his all-star campaign, he finishes with 15. He goes 4 for 9, and he goes 6 for 6 from the free throw line. We're going to get into the Deng conversation in just a minute here about why he should be an all-star. He needs to be an all-star, folks. You need to start voting for Luol Deng. I know the fan vote really doesn't count for much, but there needs to be a cause to rally behind because Luol Deng is putting up an all-star year so far in Chicago. Joakim Noah, not a bad night. 13 points, 12 rebounds. He's got a double-double on the night. 6 for 10 for the field goal range. Joakim Noah. He's throwing up the J. We saw him do it. He's been practicing it. I still always cringe when Joakim Noah shoots the ball, though. Not as much as when I cringe when Carlos Boozer shoots the ball. So maybe it was a night where the guys who make me cringe whenever they take a shot, it was their time to have a good night. Because Boozer has a good night. Noah has a good night. Double-double, 12 rebounds. Trying to get back in that rebounding game there with the thumb issues. But the last two guys here are guys that made triumphant returns on the night. You have Richard Hamilton at shooting guard. He's missed basically all of the season. He's played very, very, very minorly into the season here. He comes back. He gets 11 points. Can't expect too much out of him his first time back, really, all season from that groin injury. He gets 11, though. But the other guy, C.J. Watson, it wasn't his official triumphant return because he did play in the game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Ironically, the game in which he injured himself on New Year's Day, sprained his elbow, and that's why he's been out. But Watson makes a return. He makes an appearance in the starting lineup in place of Derrick Rose and in place of John Lucas. He goes for 23 points. So Watson with a good night. Where Watson usually comes from, though, the bench mob, it was the starters' night, without a doubt. Not that they really needed the bench mob either. I mean, the really only reason they need the bench mob in this kind of situation is the victory formation. You know, when Brian Scalabrine comes out, you know. But Omer Asik has the best night off the bench, 11 points. Ronnie Brewer, 6 points. Taj Gibson has 7 points off the bench. And then Jimmy Butler had a free throw that he made off of the bench. So the rookie contributes a point. Omer Asik, really good to see him with his 11 points. Because the big problem with the Bulls' loss to the Grizzlies was the lack of depth. And was, where was the bench? Because this is supposed to be the best bench in the NBA. It's supposed to have the deepest rotations. It's supposed to be, you know, just really solid team all the way through. And we saw a real lack of depth. Seeing a lot of zeros out of the bench mob, you know, Scalabrini's zero really doesn't count. Because he only plays like 3 minutes a game in the victory formation. And I've never seen, it's always great to see Scalabrine come out onto the court because no matter where he plays, his 3 minutes he plays, you think it's the last 3 minutes of the NBA Finals because everybody goes crazy for the White Mamba. Kyle Korver has a goose egg up there. He played 20 minutes, but he only took 3 shots. So Korver's Korver. I really don't know what to say about Kyle Korver at this point. And then John Lucas plays 15 minutes in relief of C.J. Watson. He goes bucketless 0 for 4 for John Lucas. Brewer, with his 6 points off the bench, you know, kind of taking a backseat to Richard Hamilton now. Maybe we're going to see Richard Hamilton starting a little bit more. Brewer, not a whole lot of offensive production from him in these last couple games. You know, when you see him scoring less than 5 points, that's not the answer. It's shooting guard, especially when the big problem was there was no offensive production coming from Keith Bogans last season. Brewer's 6 points, you know, he's going to have to work himself back into the starting lineup, especially now that Richard Hamilton is healthy. And one of the reasons that he was brought to Chicago was to start and was to solve the problem at the shooting guard position. But all around, at the end of the day, it's a 118-97 win over the Suns, and you move to 13-3 on the season. Defensively speaking, you know, the Bulls, 51% were the Phoenix Suns shooting on the night. Chicago ended up shooting 53%, but, you know, that 51%, usually you see the Bulls hold the team consistently down in the mid-30s to low 40s range. And even when you see a team finish with somewhere in the 40s range, that's considered almost a bad night for the Bulls. 51.4, I guess, is the official number, you could say, for the Phoenix Suns shooting on the night. Steve Nash, of course, he's the guy who finishes with the most points, 25 on the night, 10 for 13 for Nash. He only missed 3 buckets, and he was 3 for 3 from 3-point lands. Nash, 25 points on the night. But then it kind of falls off because the Suns aren't a really good shooting team. You've got Robin Lopez comes off the bench and scores 16. He's the next highest scorer on the team. And then Gorta, the big man, he gets 14 points off of the bench. Or not off of the bench, he's started. 97 points to the Phoenix Suns, a team who can't shoot, I don't want to say is disturbing, but Chicago really needs to come back around with this defensive menace that they had last season, because you've seen it in these last few games. They let teams back into it. They let freaking Washington back into the game. They let, you know, Boston comes back into the game, and that's not a surprise, but that's a pretty big thing, considering, you know, throwing out the entire fact that Boston isn't as good as they were in these past seasons, and that they are past their prime, and they're fading into the sunlight, fading into obscurity. Anytime you let an elite team back into the game, or a team where it's viewed as an elite game, a marquee game like Boston, because even though Boston's fading into obscurity, they're still the Boston Celtics, and they're still going to have to try to, you know, back up this image of a championship, and they're going to try their hardest to do it. I mean, you got guys like Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce. You're going to do that, and you're always dangerous. And to have a 20-point lead on somebody like that and then let them come back into it, that's not good, especially when you're supposed to be one of the best, if not the best, defenses in the NBA. And when you let Washington take a 2-point lead on you after leading huge, that's not good. When you let the Timberwolves come back into the game after you have the game basically wrapped up in the first quarter, that's not good. You know, it's a real issue that the Bulls need to get on, letting teams back into the game, because they let Atlanta, you know, a few Saturdays ago, really have a chance, and Atlanta said, you know what, we're going to take advantage of this opportunity, not let you back into the game, and then the Bulls have a loss right there. Same thing with the Memphis game on Monday. You know, you could say what you want about Derrick Rose not being there. That shouldn't make too much of a difference. We saw it tonight, or not tonight, on Tuesday night. Derrick Rose wasn't there. The Bulls put up 118 points. You know, Derrick Rose isn't there on Monday. The Bulls don't crack 90 against a team that they beat by 40 points on New Year's Day. So it's not a Derrick Rose thing. Like, we kind of scapegoated during the playoffs last season. Oh, okay, Derrick Rose isn't on the court. Uh-oh, what's wrong with this team? We can see them win without Derrick Rose on the court, even if it is against the Phoenix Suns. I mean, it's the Memphis Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies are a sub-500 team as well. Who, you know, say what you want about them being a sleeper team, or, you know, really surprising people, or what they did last season. This season, they're a below 500 team. Chicago beat them by 40 points on New Year's Day, and they can't beat them on Monday night. You know, that goes a little bit farther than Derrick Rose playing, Derrick Rose not playing. That goes into rotations, that goes into depth issues, and that, I think, is really something that needs to be looked at now. That is something to watch moving forward in this season. because the way you're going to win in a shortened season when you have 66 games and it's a real grind is you need to have deep rotations and you need to have deep depth. And if Chicago doesn't have that, then they're not going to win. And there's really nothing else to be said about that other than, you know, you need the depth to win. And Chicago is in a position where they need to win because they have the tools to win. They're set up for a championship run this season. Last season got the juices flowing. This season, you're taking it seriously. But if you don't have the depth or if you're lacking something again, even if it's just, circumstantial, where, if this was an 82-game season, the Bulls, this, and that. It's not an 82-game season. It's a 66-game season. Deal with it and work with it. I mean, I don't want to hear any excuses, and we're not hearing too many out of Chicago, but you're starting to hear some from, other people around the NBA and, fans and stuff. Oh, it's a 66-game season. Let's cut them some slack. They're 13-3. They don't need very much slack cut for them. But if they don't have the depth to survive deep into the playoffs, that's going to be an issue, and there's no excuse for that. You're going to face up against the Miami Heat, or you're going to face up against the Orlando Magic, or even the Indiana Pacers, who are markedly better than they were last year. You're going to have issues if you don't have the depth, and if you lose out, there's nothing to be said about that. Other than, things need to be done. There's no excuse for losing. And the Memphis game was an example of something that needs to be watched in the depth. So that's what I have to say about that. I mean, it's going to be an issue if it doesn't. You got to nip it in the butt now. Work on the rotations. I mean, and now is the time to do it, which is why I think it's a good move that the Bulls, I don't really mind that they lost to the Memphis Grizzlies. It bugs me. It's kind of depressing because you don't want to lose. But it's better to lose now to the Memphis Grizzlies than to lose to the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals again, or to lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder in the NBA Finals. I'd rather have the losses now than the losses then. And I don't think that's going to be a stance that can be argued against with very much logic. Moving forward with the Chicago Bulls, they have the next couple days off. They have Wednesday off, they have Thursday off, and then they get to Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Ohio, Friday, January 20th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. They get the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, looking at this with a different point of view, because looking at it from, let's say, writing for the Buccaneers, like I do, coming into this season, it was high expectations. It was a lot of things were expected in terms of a playoff finish. And what happened? They started out good, but then things fell apart, and now they don't have a head coach, and they missed the playoffs, and they have, the fourth pick in the draft, fifth pick in the draft, or something like that. They won four games the whole season. In that situation, there was teams where I said, the Bucks should beat this team, because they are better than this team. But there was always something in the back of my mind that said, but you got to reel that in a little bit, because if this, and that, if A, B, C, and D are exposed, then there's problems. And I'm starting to see that with the Chicago Bulls. Now, and I know that's a very, very dangerous analogy to make between the Chicago Bulls, who are actually a very good basketball team, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are a very bad football team. I mean, apples and oranges, but they're both fruit. It both applies. A lot of expectation, a lot of weight is put on this Bulls team. And unlike the Buccaneers, I know, they have the tools, the skill set, and the talent to, deliver on that. But when you see a team like Cleveland on Friday, who, yes, is 6-7, and yes, they're the Cleveland Cavaliers, and yes, they're not a good basketball team, rewind to the Washington Wizards game, where you almost lost to the Washington Wizards, who had one win at the time. And rewind to Monday when you're playing the Memphis Grizzlies, where, it's the Memphis Grizzlies. They're cute. It's good. They're a sleeper team. That's good and all. But, the Bulls have this. And all of a sudden you lose by 16 points. That's when I have to start to put the brakes on when you look at games like the Cleveland Cavaliers, where I'm about to say, and I have to catch myself, but when I'm about to say Bulls can win this game, you kind of have to stop yourself and you have to kind of reevaluate that statement. as true as it may be, because I do believe the Bulls can beat the Cavaliers with very much in a relaxed ease, you have to stop a second, put on the brakes, and say, remember Washington, remember the Atlanta game, and remember the Memphis game this past Monday. Because those are games that the Bulls should have won, that going in, you expect them to win. And then all of a sudden you have yourself a ball game against the Washington Wizards, and you're saying, what the heck's going on? This team has one freaking win. And you can't, you know, maintain a lead? What's that? You know, regardless of whether or not Derrick Rose is on the court, because he may be, because he's got the 2 days in between the games to rest, plus he hasn't played all week since Saturday against the Toronto Raptors, he'll most likely play. And yes, that changes the game, but let's say he doesn't play. Take Derrick Rose out of the equation. How confident are you that the Bulls can beat the Cavaliers? And that's what it ultimately comes down to. I think they can beat the Cavaliers without Derrick Rose, and that's what's going to happen. But that's Friday. The Cavs, not much to be said about them. You know, they're a work in progress, and that's what it comes down to. And the Bulls really should handle it, which I know kind of flies in the face of everything that I just said. But when it comes down to it, the Bulls, when they're the better team, they're going to win the game. They're better than the Wizards. Yeah, the Wizards came back into it. It was frustrating. It raises red flags. But the Bulls didn't lose to the Wizards. And I think that's ultimately what you have to consider when you look at these games. But it is a divisional game. And any time you play a team in your own division, even if it is the Cavs, it's going to be a good game. How long it's a good game is something else to consider. It could be a good game for the first 5 seconds if all of a sudden the Bulls run away with it. But, you know, it also could be a thing where the Cavaliers have something to prove, and they kind of want to punch one of the big brothers in the mouth and say, you know what, we can do it too. But that's Friday. We're going to have a show in between then, breaking down the pregame for that. Bulls win 118-97 over the Phoenix Suns. Luol Deng is going to be the subject of a lot of talk moving forward here, because a lot of people think he's an MVP candidate. We're going to have a lot of stuff up on the site about Luol Deng and his an All-Star candidate. See, when you write about the Bulls and you have so many good, talented players, you think they all deserve the MVP, especially when you got it in your house right now. But All-Star campaign, Luol Deng and the All-Star campaign, that's going to be something to rally behind, and Pippen and Easy really going to start rallying behind that. Get on Twitter, get on Facebook, and follow Pippen and Easy, and rally behind the Luol Deng All-Star campaign, because he's doing it. He's getting it done. He's really the only consistent, reliable guy on the team other than Derrick Rose. Like I said, every time Carlos Boozer takes a shot, I kind of cringe. It's like, ugh, because you don't know what's going to happen. Even when the ball is like inches away from the rim, you don't know what's going to happen, because it's a Carlos Boozer shot. It could bounce in, or it can just completely miss somehow. You know, Joakim Noah is all of a sudden to the disgrace of a lot of his followers, just kind of really showing an inconsistent side. Whether or not that has to do with an injury or not, that's to, you know, yet to be seen. But the only real reliable guy and consistent guy is Luol Deng. And yes, he's had some nights where he's not really performed well. You have to look at what it is on defense, though. Because that's what the Bulls pride themselves on, is defense. And Luol Deng consistently shows up on defense, even when Carlos Boozer doesn't, even when Joakim Noah doesn't, even when, you know, Ronnie Brewer doesn't. Luol Deng is always the anchor that assists Derrick Rose in leading the Bulls. And I think that's a very nice thing to have happened, because Luol Deng, for the longest time, was the scapegoat. It was his fault Chicago was losing. I'm talking pre-Derrick Rose days here. You know, Luol Deng is overpaid. Luol Deng's not doing that. And all of a sudden now, he's peaking. He's hitting that mark that everybody wanted him to be at, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. He's there now. And, you know, sorry if you had to wait, but it's now that it's happening, now people are seeing, okay, Luol Deng, really integral part of this team. And he deserves an All-Star vote. He deserves a spot on the All-Star team. And it would be really great if the Bulls could get two All-Stars, because you know Derrick Rose is going to be All-Star because it's a popularity contest when it comes down to it, I guess. You know, you got, I mean, guys, was it last year, like, Yao Ming got into the All-Star game and he was halfway out the door to his retirement at that point. You know, so it's a popularity contest, so that means Derrick Rose is a rising star. He's going to be there. But if you can get another Bull there, that'd be great. I mean, think about that for a second. Last year, Derrick Rose got to the All-Star team. He was an All-Star starter for the first time since Michael Jordan. Now, the next year, after that enormous span of time where the Bulls have just been down and low in terms of All-Stars, you get two on the same team, even if Deng's a reserve. You get two All-Stars on the same team a year after you just broke out of a drought since the Jordan years. That's pretty incredible. And that also says a lot about Luol Deng and how far he's come. I mean, think about how good that's going to feel for him. Everything he's had to go through, from the critics, from the media, from the fans, to finally, you know, be there in Orlando for the All-Star game with the All-Star patch on, representing Chicago. That's going to be great. And I think it should happen. We really need to start rallying behind this cause. You know, get on Pippin and Easy, get on Twitter, get on Facebook, and really start rallying behind this cause, because it is a popularity contest. If Yao Ming can freaking get voted in, you know, and he's not even, you know, he's retired basically, there's no reason why the entire Bulls Nation can't rally behind Luol Deng and get him into the All-Star game. So I guess that's the mission. Get Luol Deng into the All-Star game and win an NBA championship. Bulls win 118-97 over the Phoenix Suns to get the Cleveland Cavaliers on Friday. We'll be breaking it down on Pippin and Easy all week long. Stay tuned to the iTunes feed. Search the iTunes store. Search Pippin and Easy. It'll be probably the only thing that comes up. There is the mobile app that would come up. You can download that as well if you'd like. But the podcast, you can download that out of the podcast store. Stay up to date with all of the best Pippin Ain't Easy Bulls news. Follow Pippin Ain't Easy on Twitter. Follow it on Facebook. In-game tweets, you can also follow myself at JDaveHill, JDAVHILL on Twitter for in-game tweets as well and all the best Bulls news. It's going to be a good season. We are just, 16 games into it for the Bulls. They're 13-3, 6-0 at home. It's a great start. Cleveland on Friday, Charlotte on Saturday. Then you get a day off. The three-game stretch is behind you, but you're looking forward to that dangerous stretch at the end of January and beginning of February. That'll also be something that we're looking at and breaking down, is the 9-game road trip to the East Coast that the Bulls have. Going to be intense. But this is when you're going to want to get your wins. You're going to want to pad it now because, and like the original argument to start the show, why you want to rest Derrick Rose now, because you'd rather have him out of the lineup against the Suns and the Grizzlies and the Cavs rather than out of the lineup against the Nets, the Hornets, the Heat, the Celtics. It's logical, folks. Just roll with it for now. It'll all work out. The Bulls know what they're doing. I'm Josh Hill from PippinAin'tEasy.com. This has been Bulls Talk on Pippin Ain't Easy Radio Network. We will see you next time. Download us on iTunes. Have a week, folks.